God, I thank you for being my father. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am John Harvey with the Community Homeowners Group to present to you thought-provoking messages that will not only engage your heart, but will dispel age-old myths and unveil hidden truths that unfold the Word of God.
God, I thank you for being my Father.
Today's message will be delivered by Barbara King on signs, wonders, and miracles in the new day.
At this time, I shall bring to you a short teaching on signs, wonders, and miracles. These three words are used together in the scriptures in most instances, yet there is a significant difference. As I take you through this teaching, I pray that you will be able to understand the difference. Miracles, Hebrew, the second chapter and the fourth verse reads, God also bearing them witnesses, both with signs, wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. The Hebrew writer also states, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The Lord giveth the Holy Spirit to everyone who is willing to receive it. One might believe that these words have the same definition. If that is the case, then the question becomes, why are the words separately mentioned? The answer is that each have a separate meaning. Let's start with signs. Signs is explained as something one can see with anticipation of something to occur, as it is written in Matthew, by a Jew, to Jews, about a Jew. Matthew is the writer, his countrymen are the readers, and Jesus Christ is the subject. And it reads, with me, if you care, read with me if you care to Matthew 16:1-4. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them signs from heaven. Second verse, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Verse 3, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowing. O ye hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no signs be given unto it, but the signs of the prophet Jonas. Jonas was a type of Jesus Christ, in that Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days. So was Jesus in the grave. Therefore, if one lives by signs of nature only, you will miss the spiritual signs. For while you search for proof of signs as a supernatural authority, your attention is taken away from the signs of the Spirit that is talked about in Mark, the 16th chapter and the 17th verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, let us focus on wonders. Wonders is a clear, bright token or omen of something to come. It is the evidence of the working of God in the Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and the 19th verse states, and I will show wonders in the heavens about signs and signs in the earth beneath blood and fire and viper smoke. This lets you know that while wonders are taking place in heaven, disaster is happening in the earth. Hopefully, you understand the difference between signs and wonders. One must seek the Lord and desire to know the truth of the matter. Let's move on to miracles. In the New Day ministry, miracles are revealed unto the believer between in a much greater light. In Galatians, the third chapter, the fifth verse reads, "He therefore that ministers to you in the Spirit work miracles among you, doeth it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith." And in Acts, the 19th chapter and the 11th verse, it states that, "And God wrought spirit special miracles by the hand of Paul." Miracles are a special gift given by God to special appointed people who is willing to believe in him in his entirety. For example, my grandson DJ, who was brought back from the dead on more than one occasion by the pastor in the presence of the congregation, by the grace of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, those of you under the sound of my voice will seek the Lord for yourself, that you too may receive the word of signs, wonders.
Today's message has been brought to you by Derek Lundy, entitled Three Realms: Spiritual, Natural, and Physical.
The three realms. What are the three realms in which we speak of regarding spiritual, natural, and the physical? As it relates to God, the three realms denotes the three different worlds or planes or dimensions that exist. Originally, God had established two realms, one called the spiritual realm and then one called the natural realm. The spiritual realm is that realm that was a place of abode for God himself. It's commonly referred to as the holiest of the holies. And this is where those holy creatures that God had called into existence, that's where they reside. And that is the ultimate realm that one can achieve. Then there was a second realm that was created, and that realm was the living quarters or living space for all of God's creatures that were natural. Now you have to keep in mind that the two are both spirits. One is of a divine nature and the other is a natural nature. God being that divine one, and all other creations were called natural creatures. Now, there was one that God created to be the leading angel or cherub, which was his name was Lucifer. And he was that one that was the God called him the morning star. And it was his job to teach and bring the other angels along in terms of the things of God. And Lucifer was the Lord over that natural realm. Now, what happened was Lucifer had gotten to the point where he began to look upon himself as someone just as great as God, so he thought. It was his desire that he be just like God. And the funny thing about that, God wanted him to be the same as he was, but God wanted it so in terms of the spirit. You know, God wanted to bring Lucifer up to that point where he was just like himself, but he wanted to do so by way of his spirit. He wanted to put his character or his attributes within Lucifer, but God wanted to do so by way of his Christ spirit. You see, God wants all of his creatures to come up to the level of the spirit. He wants them all to learn about his ways, about his character. And that was his desire for Lucifer, and that Lucifer may do the same for all the creatures that he was responsible for. Well, what happened was Lucifer just did not come to that point. He saw himself in a light that God did not see himself. You know, Lucifer was that anointed cherub that was full of beauty. He had built-in pipes where, I mean, he was able to bring forth the most glorious worship as God had given him favor to. And you know, Lucifer looked at those things, and he looked at how God had set him up, and he began to say, "Wow, man, I'm just like God. I'm going to be just like him. I'm just as smart as he is. I look just as pretty as he does. I mean, there is none in the land more fair than me." I mean, in his heart, he began to look at that thing, and he looked at it at himself as something greater than what he actually was. Well, of course, you know, there was none smarter than he was in the land, and there was none that was as melodious as he was in the land, of course, except God himself. And Lucifer really looked at that thing and thought he was all that in the bag of chips. Well, that was his demise also. That's what brought him down. And as it deceived him, Lucifer had deceived a third of the angels or the creatures that God had entrusted him to raise up. And so what ended up happening was you have what we have now, a realm called the natural realm that is actually a fallen state of what God had originally intended it to be. And of course, you know, that being natural, God had to establish another realm called the physical realm, because when Lucifer had fallen to that state, you know, God had to go about and create another creature, and he called that one man. And that creature, that one, it was a new creation. That one was charged with doing the same as Lucifer, you know. And it was his job that he was to subdue the earth and all of the inhabitants and to bring them up in the same light that Lucifer was to bring up all of the angels, in terms of knowing and understanding the things of the spirit. Well, this one, this new creature, God called him Adam. And Adam was faced with the same thing that Lucifer was. And in Adam's test, you know, his only thing was, you know, apart from bringing the creatures that God had given him dominion over, which included Lucifer. He was no longer known as Lucifer at this time. He was known as the devil because he had gone to a fallen state. Adam's job was to bring all the creatures that God had gave space to live in the earth. His job was to bring them up in the things of the spirit. And, you know, the Bible really doesn't say how long he existed and how long it was before he had made the fatal mistake as Lucifer did. But Adam was a glorious creature also. And Adam's job, just like Lucifer, was to bring all of creation around in terms of the things of the spirit as well. But he had fallen prey to the deceptive M.O. of the devil. And he had given up the authority and all what God had given him to be that king of the earth. He had given it over to the devil. And in doing so, because they were to remember natural creatures, you know, the first man, he was a natural spirit also. He was a natural being as well. And he was in the same place of abode as Lucifer, or I'm sorry, the devil, because he was no longer known as Lucifer, the covering cherub. But he was the fallen angel, and God referred to him as an enemy of his, or even the devil. And so, being that Adam was in the same plane that the the devil was, it was a hands down win. I mean, the devil was able to just put a serious whooping on that first man. And remember, God never took away any of those gifts that he had given Lucifer. I mean, he was the wisest of all wise in terms of natural things. I mean, this spirit filled up the sum of wisdom. I mean, there was nothing he did not know when it came to natural things. Nothing changed at all. And so, being that he had that advantage over all natural creatures, I mean, Adam fell prey to that. Once Adam gave up that authority to rule, he gave that authority to the devil, and therefore he became a servant of the devil. I mean, unknowingly now, he this thing had happened, but by default, Adam had given up all what God had given him and had just given it over to the devil. And now the devil was top dog, and the devil had that ability to control those things that was in the world that Adam was responsible for. So now you have it. You got this new creature that God had created to establish his new kingdom in the world. Now, instead of him being having dominion over that world, now he was one of those that was one that had that now was controlled by another, an even a more wicked one than he had ever known. And so God had to kind of balance that playing field. God had to create another domain. And that's where you see the physical domain coming about, domain come into play. And if you ever read in the book of Genesis where God, I think it's the second chapter of Genesis, God began to talk about how he had made coats of skin for man. You see, man was all spiritual. And you begin to look at the creative work of man and how God began to create, recreate the earth. You take note how God said when he made this a creature and he made that creature, he made it in what? His kind. And you begin to look at that thing and say, well, what do you mean his kind? It was of the spiritual nature. It had a spiritual touch or flair to it. It wasn't in the order of a divine one, but everything was covered by God's spirit. And so you're talking about non-material beings, okay? These beings had a covering that was covered by the spirit. And so when Adam had walked from underneath that covering, when he had moved from where God had originally established him, Adam was uncovered. That's why he said to God, when God had came to him in the cool of the day, he says, hey, man, I hid myself because I saw that I was naked. And God said, well, who told you that you were naked? Because God had clothed them in the things of, or God had clothed them in his spiritual nature, meaning that was the makeup of everything at that time on the natural order. in terms of how things existed. Everything was covered by God's spirit, okay? And so once Adam walked from underneath that covering, Adam saw, look, I don't have a covering anymore. I am laid bare. And he literally was, because the enemy had the opportunity to just do whatever he wanted to do. And the enemy saw what he had before him. So God had, in his mercy, had to create another plane, another dimension. And that's where we get the third plane, or the third world, which is known as the physical. Now, the physical plane is tied to the natural. Whatever you see the natural doing, that's what you'll see acted out in that body. If you ever look at a person who may have a tendency to lie, you know, they just walk up to you, man, and then all of a sudden they just start talking to you, and you know right off the bat they lying to you. And then your mind, you're like, oh, God, here they come. Oh, I hope they don't see me, because all they do when they talk is lie. Well, they have like what you call a lying spirit that energizes them. And that's what that spirit does. And so what happens is it's a natural spirit that dictates or dominates the person's human spirit, which in turn causes the whole body to do and to say or to act in a way that spirit is directing, and it'll manifest itself in the body as a lying spirit. And so it's not like they just have a control over it, but they just do it because that's what's in them. That's what's in their heart to do. Or like when you see a kid that plays sports, and he could be the smallest thing on that team. He could be running back, and he is the smallest thing on that team. And man, he'll run through whoever and just knock them on their backside like it's nothing. And you hear him say, well, that kid got a lot of heart. Well, of course, the person, all he sees is running that ball and knocking them on their backside. And of course, there is a spirit that is energizing him, that is making him do those things that, you know, an ordinary person would not be able to do. That's the level that Adam had fallen to, where wicked spirits could inhabit the soul. Or control the soul, where it would seek to control the heart of a man, and which is what anoints or enables one to do whatever. And that's where you begin to see all these things which are so like, oh, I can't stand that. Oh, here they come. Oh my God. Who all he do or she do is just lie. Or like when you see a woman that might be promiscuous, or a fella that may have on their mind, they love to look at things that are inappropriate. You know, they call them like degrading things like pornography. That is what is in a person's heart to do. And it came about because of that fall of man eons ago. See, there are spirits that the enemy had brought in, and they were able to come and take up abode in man and begin to act out or bring out so many different characteristics, ungodly characteristics. Because that's what they were all about. They were all about rebelling, just coming against the things that God had established that was good, right, and proper. And so when you begin to look at the three realms, you're going to be in one or the other. That body's going to follow one or the other. It's either going to follow or have spiritual attributes, which are of the God kind, or it's going to have the attributes which are of the ungodly kind. In either case, they're going to start out in one realm, and you're going to see it acted out in the third realm, which is called the physical. It's called the physical realm. So just as it is that a man is wrapped up three in one, spirit, soul, and body, it mirrors that creative work that God had established long, long, long time ago in terms of the makeup of the makeup of the different worlds that exist. Because when you begin to look at even the where we live, you have a physical earth, you have that natural earth, and then you have the heavens. You know, when you look in the Bible, it says God created heaven and earth. Okay, and men tend to think that, well, there was a heaven and then there was this physical place that he made. And that's not the case. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the spirit. He's talking about the soul that he created. And then by default, because man had not met his end of the stick, he had to make a third world, which is what we call this physical earth. And that was out of his mercy that God had done that thing. So I thank God for that which he's given me to elaborate on the three worlds. And I'm going to end it at that. And as the Lord gives you favor to dig a little bit deeper, I thank God.
The production you have just heard has been developed from many revelations from the Little Book series, The Law of Natural Anointing, Which Jesus, Heavenly Messages for Overcoming Death, authored by Dr. Daryl G. Hunt. We pray you have been edified by the words spoken on this day, and that your heart is inclined to want to know more.
I'm thankful every day for all of your blessings. For all of your blessings. God, I thank you for being my Father.